When man first began to explore this earth, he did so in sailing ships. Many men would go aboard and sail around the world, not only to prove that the earth was round, but to collect goods and even to find trade routes that could be used for economic purposes. Many men aboard the ship had very important jobs, but none was more important than the lookout. The one sent to the top of the mast, he looked not only for danger, but also for opportunity. This post was so important that it was never left unmanned. In a spiritual sense, we have all been told to be lookouts. That's our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you for joining us today for this broadcast of Truth for the World. Let me encourage you to get your Bible and be prepared to study along with us as we enter this period of Bible study. Our text today is going to come from the first book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So if you'd like to turn there in your Bible, you'd be ready to join us in just a moment. We do thank you for joining us. We know that you have a very busy schedule. It's always our privilege to be invited into your life that we might have this time to study God's Word together. In this particular book, 1 Corinthians, Paul has written to a relatively young church. The church at Corinth had not been around that long. Corinth was a very interesting city because of its location geographically, because of the amount of commerce done there. But the church there had many problems. And Paul writes this first book of Corinthians primarily to address a number of those problems. When we find him writing here in the 16th chapter, we're very near the end of this particular letter, and he is giving some advice. And this is good advice. And we are entitling this particular lesson as we take our text from 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Watch ye. We all need to be aware of certain things, and we're given warnings in order to be aware at many different times in our lives. Paul here begins this verse, this 13th verse of 1 Corinthians 16, with the words, Watch ye. He then goes on to say, Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. This is very good advice, and it is true that everyone needs advice. No one can go through this life without the help of those who are wiser and more experienced than he. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the wise man said, The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. One of the marks of being a wise man is not only receiving good advice, but accepting it, obeying it, following it, taking that to heart, and actually following after it. We also are told that not only does everyone need to be advised, but everyone needs good advice. Now, sometimes people say that advice is cheap because you don't pay anything for it. Well, sometimes that's true. It's even occasionally true that you might pay someone who is supposed to be an expert in a particular field for his advice and you still don't get good advice. But each one of us needs good advice. Proverbs 24 and verse 6, the wise man again says, For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. We will not be able to carry on the war, or we'll not be able to carry on with our lives with foolish counsel. We will quickly be defeated. And he says that there's a particular safety in having many counselors. Why? Because it's more likely that you will get good advice. But the Proverbs writer is also very clear. He tells us that the best advice comes from God above. In chapter 19 and verse 21, he says, There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Sometimes man may give good advice, but God always gives us the correct advice. God always tells us what will truly benefit us. Not what's easy to hear, not what we would like, but what is right. And Paul here, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, is giving God's advice. God's advice to these Christians who had many problems to deal with, yet had the possibility of living long and fruitful lives in His service. So we're going to begin our study by taking this first piece of advice, watch ye. And let's take that as our topic for today. This word in the original language literally means to stay awake. We began our lesson today talking about the lookout in a ship, the one who is high in the mast. If that man were to fall asleep while on duty, the rules varied from one Navy to another, but in most navies, a lookout who fell asleep on duty would be beaten, sometimes even beaten until he was dead. The punishment was very severe because it was necessary that he stay awake in order to do that job appropriately. If the watchman were to fall asleep, everyone aboard the ship was immediately in danger. There are many times in our lives today when we must remain awake and alert in order to be safe. I think about riding the subway system in New York City, or riding the metro system in Kiev, Ukraine, maybe riding in a taxi cab in Taipei, Taiwan. These are all places where we can move about with relative safety. But if we're not careful, if we fall asleep, then we could easily become the victim to someone else's crime. In a spiritual sense, we need to take this advice to heart. We need to stay awake. We need to be watchful in order to avoid the spiritual danger that is out there around us. Let's ask and then answer this question. Why should we watch? Why is it that we as children of God, people living in this earth, should be watchful, should be careful? The first answer that we notice is because the devil wants to destroy you. Now, it may be that you have met people in your life who really don't like you. Maybe they don't like your personality. Possibly you have said something to them at some point, and because of that there's a division between you, and you just don't get along well. But few of us have ever met someone who genuinely wants to destroy us. That's his only purpose in life, is to completely destroy us. But such is true of the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we're admonished, be sober. Be vigilant. That's watchful. That's careful. That's looking around. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. A lion will stalk its prey, watching it carefully, until the exact moment of opportunity comes. Then he pounces on it, and he destroys it. Such is true of the devil. He, like that lion, wants to destroy us, and he watches for an opportunity. And since he is looking for an opportunity to destroy, we have to be just as watchful, if not more so, in order to be sure we don't fall prey to him. A second reason we might notice that we need to be watchful is because the Lord is coming to judge. There are some who believe that Jesus is going to come back for the purpose of establishing a kingdom, that he will rapture away those who are faithful at the beginning of 7 years of terrible tribulation. Then he will return to the earth and rule from a throne in Jerusalem, keeping peace throughout all the earth for 1,000 years. The Bible, however, doesn't teach this. The Bible does teach that Jesus is going to return, not to this earth, but he's going to return on that last day when the dead will be raised, both good and evil, and when all men, living and dead, will be judged. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42, he says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Jesus taught many things by parables, but Jesus taught in chapter 25 of Matthew by parables that he was like a master of a house who goes into a far country. He leaves his servants with certain possessions of his that they are to use for his service. When he returns, he makes them give an accounting of those things that were left with them. The spiritual application is that Jesus has gone into heaven. We're told in Daniel chapter 7 that it was when he ascended up on high that he was given a kingdom. So he's not coming to establish one. And he has left certain things in our possession. One of those things is the gospel itself, and how we use it both to direct our lives and to teach those who are lost will determine where we end or where we spend eternity in the end. Jesus is coming back just like that master did. He's coming in order to judge, and we will all have to give an account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We need to watch, therefore, because the Lord is coming again. Thirdly, we need to watch because some people here on earth will not tell us the truth. We mentioned just a moment ago that God always gives the best advice, that some men will give good advice, but it's also true that some men will tell you a lie. They simply will not speak the truth. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, the Apostle Paul has gathered with a group of elders, and he is giving them instructions before leaving them. He says, "Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Now, why is Paul giving this admonition? Well, part of it is a warning. He says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, this taken and made spiritual application means that there were going to be savage people, men, who would be wolves, and they would come into the Lord's church and destroy God's people. But notice he said, "Also from among yourselves." Remember, he's speaking to elders, the leaders in the church there. "Among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Paul's warning took place over a period of 3 years of teaching. It wasn't limited just to the elders, but he warned everyone. He said he did it night and day with tears. He was diligent in this warning because he knew that the danger was real. When he left, there would be men who would lie to them, even men from within the leadership of the church that would lie to them in order to draw away disciples after themselves. Now, history has shown that Paul spoke the truth, that there were those who left the church and carried away many disciples after them into error and therefore into damnation. We also understand, both from the Bible record and from secular history, that the church has been attacked by many from without. So all of the things that Paul warned them about took place. They were all true. We need to watch, because not everyone is our friend. Not everyone will tell us the truth. Some, even from within the church, will not speak the truth. Because of that, we must be watchful. Fourthly, if we are the children of God, if we have obeyed Him, and we are now His servants, we need to watch because we are now the children of light. We, as children of light, have this opportunity to be watchful. If we live in darkness, then it doesn't matter how careful we are, we cannot see. But Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, Paul says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things hath the wrath of God come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. As the children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." We, as the children of light, should be watchful. Because now, since we are walking in the light, we can see what's around us. We can turn to God's Word and know what the truth is and know what danger is. Since we can tell the difference now, we ought to be able to watch out for it and to avoid many of those pitfalls. We should be watchful because we are now the children of God. Now, how important is this? How important is it that we be watchful, that we look around and be warned of the dangers that are around us? I'd like to give only one example. Many could be given from the Bible. We'll only take the time to give one. I'd like for us to go back to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 23, and look at the example of when God gave the seven-year Sabbath. Now, we are familiar with the Sabbath that was commanded on the seventh day of the week under the Old Covenant, how they were to keep the seventh day holy according to the Ten Commandments that they lived under. However, there was also a Sabbath that was to be applied to the seventh year. We find it given in Exodus chapter 23, beginning in verse 10. through Moses, God says, 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, that the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, notice this admonition, be circumspect. What does that mean? The word circumspect means to look around, to be watchful, to be aware. Be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. At the same time here that he administers or gives to them a commandment regarding the Sabbath day, he gives them the seventh year Sabbath, that in that seventh year they were not to cultivate their fields. Now, he also admonishes them, warns them, be circumspect, look around you. It is very interesting to me that it's about the same time that the children of Israel asked for a king to rule over them, that they stopped obeying this seventh year Sabbath. In fact, we know from the record of the Bible that God finally did punish his people for this. The punishment for not keeping the seventh year Sabbath is seen in the book of 2 Chronicles. In fact, our text now is 2 Chronicles 36, beginning in verse 19. We're told that then they burned the house of the Lord, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. Now, this is talking about a very different time in the nation of Israel. We read about God giving the Sabbath when the nation of Israel is very young, when God has brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and he is giving them all, or beginning to give them all these things that have been promised to them even from the time of Abraham. He's looking forward to the many years of service, the many years that they might have together in this covenant relationship with God. But here in 2 Chronicles, we see a very different picture. Here we see Israel after she has sinned, after she's left the covenant with God. That's the reason the house of God is being destroyed. The precious possessions are being taken away, and the people of God are being killed and made servants, the servants of the Babylonian Empire. Now, we're told right here in our text that this is done to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet had come and warned the people. And this was to be done for a certain period of time, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. God told his people, every seventh year you allow your ground to lie fallow. The people had not done that. They had not done that for 490 years because they had neglected this command of God. Even when he warned them to be circumspect, to watch, to be careful, to be aware of the things around them, even though they had been warned, they hadn't done it. And since they hadn't done it, God is going to destroy them. God is going to carry them away into captivity. Most of these people will die in that captivity. God destroys them as a nation. Now, it is true that the Israelites do return in 70 years from this captivity, but they're never the powerful nation that they once were. From this point on, the physical nation of Israel is always going to be subject to some other nation, some other world power, even to the time when we see Christ come to the earth. There we see them subject to the Roman Empire, even to the point where when they wanted to crucify Christ, they could not do so without Roman permission. So we see that God is going to punish them because when they were warned to be watchful, they were not. What about us? Have we not been warned to be watchful? Remember our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye. Be careful. Be aware. Be awake. Stay awake. Be on the lookout. We've been warned. And if we fail to do so, in a spiritual sense, we will suffer calamity, just as a ship would if the watchman fell asleep. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.